United Kingdom, coming to you September 21st, 2017. Elizabeth Cuppet-Cavalli and I both applaud President Donald J. Trump for his historic UN speech. What a contrast to the UN speech former President Barack Obama made when he denigrated, quote, crude populism, unquote, and, quote, religious fundamentalism, unquote. In a mindset like President Abraham Lincoln's call to the better angels of our nature, Trump emphasized the great dangers to all nations posed by both North Korea and Iran's nuclear ambitions and actions. Hence the call by Trump for a, quote, great reawakening of nations to respect interests of their own people and of every other nation, unquote. He said we must not fall into the valley of despair. Trump challenged the United Nations to reform, changing elements like the, quote, egregious terror states that sit on the Security Council, unquote. The president said that this rebirth and renewal, born of will and resolve, will, quote, unlock the potential of life itself, unquote. Are we patriots? Do we love our own countries enough? John Adams wrote that before the American Revolution occurred, it was in the minds of the people. That was the moment we awoke. Trump reaffirmed that in foreign affairs, the U.S. was renewing the following principle. Quote, as president, I will always put America first, just as you and your country should. We must confront together the rogue elements, unquote. Trump was undoubtedly referring to the ones like North Korea, who could destroy us. Elizabeth will update you on some of the dangerous rogue elements of the deep state as covered in Dick Morris's new book, Rogue Spooks.
Thank you, Lou. This book is written by ex-political operative for Bill Clinton, Dick Morris, and Eileen McGann. It is called Rogue Spooks, and I believe that the publisher is All Points Books, and it's available at any major bookstore. Some very interesting things about it are that, first of all, Morris says, during the campaign, the British rogue spook, at the behest of his American paymasters, orchestrates an audacious plan to create and publicize a shocking dossier to besmirch the billionaire candidate and assure that he will never become president. Quote, they, that's the FBI, next find him, the ex-spook, in Rome, and that's when the FBI makes a baffling decision. It agrees to pay him $50,000 if he can get, quote, solid corroboration of the material in his report. In the meantime, the FBI pays for some of his expenses. Quote, the ex-spook never collects the $50,000. Media reports suggest that the arrangement lasts only a few weeks, ending, quote, abruptly before the U.S. election. Morris says of his book, it is the true story of how Hillary Clinton's supporters paid for a secret investigation that resulted in a dossier that was filled with lies, that rogue British ex-spooks and possibly others and the United States intelligence community are using in a brazen attempt to undermine and shatter Donald Trump's presidency. Now, some of the players are, first, Christopher Steele, the former British MI6 agent. He was paid secretly by Hillary Clinton's supporters $160,000 to investigate Trump's ties to Russia. Dick Morris portrays Steele as obsessed with Putin and enraged by him because of the Kremlin's alleged polonium poisoning assassination of former FSB officer Alexander Litvinenko in the year 2006. Litvinenko had escaped to asylum in Britain and worked as an asset with MI6, reportedly, with Christopher Steele as his handler. The second main player who aided Steele, by talking to Senator John McCain at the Halifax International Security Conference in Nova Scotia in Canada, November 17th to 20th, 2016, was Sir Andrew Wood, former UK ambassador to Russia. He's a fellow specializing in Russia/Eurasia at Chatham House. Now, that's very interesting. We have to comment that Chatham House is that high-level think tank that equates to America's Council on Foreign Relations with that same global government mindset. At this meeting, this interesting shadow government international meeting, that we had all the facets gathered, including NATO officials, anti-Russian activists, Ukraine militants, ex-spies, and according to Morris, we had dozens of anti-Trump diplomats and deep state leaders. The keynote speaker was Senator Tim Kaine. Boy, are you surprised? Here we are with the One Worlders. Senator McCain, of course, got the dossier at that meeting and turned it over to Comey at the FBI. The latter sections of Dick Morris's book, Rogue Spooks, tell the fascinating story of the ups and downs of how powerful the CIA and FBI were during the presidential administrations, starting, I believe, with even Eisenhower to a degree, and on through from Truman all the way up to where we are now. A very fascinating story. Because at times the CIA was very omnipotent, and at times the power was sort of taken away by the president. So there was always this kind of a seesawing back and forth. In this earlier part of the book, I, as a news analyst, and I'm speaking now as Elizabeth Caverly, and critic of the shadow government, a.k.a. the New World Order, I have to question whether former Bill Clinton political operative Dick Morris has fully recanted, or is he just naive? Over and over, at least four times, he discusses either Russia's so-called, quote, invasion of Georgia, or more recently, its actions in Crimea. Lou and I actually found one MSNBC news report in the mid-2000s that told the truth, that the alternative news had been bringing out so well that NATO and the West went into Georgia first. Did you hear that? No, Putin didn't invade into Georgia first. Only then, after NATO and the West went in, did Russia defend its national interest by securing areas or enclaves that had always been under Russian control, like South Ossetia. The alternative news has clearly exposed the connections of the West, and particularly John McCain and Soros, George Soros, his interest in overthrowing the Ukraine. And that involved overthrowing the leader, too, the top leader, the pro-Russian president, Viktor Yanukovych. Protests against him, allegedly funded by the West and Soros, with McCain accused also as being a player, came, and this is really significant. He refused to sign an EU association agreement. That's why they were after him. Do you see he wouldn't go in with the New World Order plan, just the way Putin wouldn't go in? And at this Halifax Security Conference we mentioned earlier, also in attendance, was Kurt Volker. He was the executive director of the McCain Institute, and he was pro-Ukraine and former U.S. representative to NATO. Do you see how the birds of the feather were all flocking together? You certainly can, can't you? Morris's book repeats the heroic profile of McCain that the news demolished, that is, True News, the alternative news network, demolished it so well when they played an audio clip from June 1969, that's about a year or two ago, of McCain treacherously broadcasting an appeal to North Vietnam. Why was this in Dick Morris's book, this almost propaganda-like tribute to McCain? It is well established that Putin's refusal to come under the New World Order represents a view of nationalistic Russia, just as Trump's view, too, is for America first. Rogue Spook, Chatham House, Sir Andrew Wood, warned that the Kremlin could interfere in a second Scottish independence referendum and as it seeks to destabilize the West. Wow. See, we don't like Brexit either. This is not just a mindset that is here in America, that we have certain pro-Trumpers, certain anti-Trumpers. This is worldwide, this struggle for freedom, the relief from tyranny. The shadow government plan to use ISIS to oust Bashar Assad, the Alawite leader who kept Syrian Christians safe for generations and keep Syria and Iraq in flames, collapsed because of Russia's military help to rout out ISIS. That creature that was formed very well aided by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and all their minions. Yet another Dick Morris seems to be terribly taken in. Author Dick Morris, I couldn't read by writing there. Author Dick Morris seems to be terribly taken in, or is this Hegelian, by this twisted story of Russia as the invader of Georgia and then Crimea. It comes up at least four times in his book. And also, he spends time fleshing out the story about Paul Manafort. We hear now that Paul Manafort has been indicted. Will he be a sort of a Martha Stewart scapegoat in all this? They went in on him, he and his wife, at 5 in the morning, raiding his home. This is Gestapo. This is the old KGB, is what this is. So he was working as a consultant in Ukraine from 2004 to 2014, and I must give Dick Morris credit here. He does pretty well exonerate Paul Manafort because, again, this dossier was talking about a so-called thing that really is not very logical. So anyway, Manafort was working from 2004 to 2014 for former President Viktor Yanukovych, and he began this years before he ever joined the Trump campaign, according to Dick Morris. Morris does an excellent job of debunking this dossier and documenting that it alleged that Putin and Ukraine leader Yanukovych met at Volgograd August 15, 2016, and that the leader, the Ukraine leader, confided he had authorized substantial kickback payments to Manafort, and leaving no trail to find. Well, Morris rightly concludes that this is very far-fetched, for Yanukovych by this time was a fugitive, having had to flee the Ukraine on February 22, 2014, and since then he's in exile. So in November 2016, he was indicted for high treason, and he was being tried in absentia, the trial having begun in May 2016. Morris says, but all he talked about with Putin was a supposed bribe to be paid to Manafort? That's odd, isn't it? Very odd, we would say, very unlikely. And Morris's chapter 10, How the Intel Community Came to Pose a Threat to Democracy. I've mentioned that chapter before. It's worth buying this book just to read the history, really, of the CIA and the FBI. And again, this book is named Rogue Spooks by Dick Morris and Eileen McGann. And you can get it at a large bookstore. And now, getting into some other very important information that he has, he first of all gives a wonderful assessment. And you heard Lou talk about our president's very presidential speech at the United Nations. We do hope that this will bring forth what he hopes for, a renewal, a restoration, a change, so that some of those terrorist organizations aren't on the Security Council, so that the United Nations can be a little more friendly in all of its peacekeeping, and that it can respect some nationalism, and that it could actually help in getting Venezuela's people to have more freedom. Well, according to Dick Morris, Trump's accomplishments in office, January 21st to May 7th, are these: a 27% increase in jobs created, a 13% hike in houses sold, a 71% cut in illegal border crossings, a 10% cut in the trade deficit. Confirmation of Neil Gorsuch for Supreme Court, blocking refugees from terror nations still in litigation, partially funding construction of the Mexican border wall, 5,000 new ICE agents, a stop to federal money to sanctuary cities, elimination of two federal regulations for each one added, a cut to Obamacare regulations on health insurance. No lobbying for 5 years after leaving office. No lobbying for foreign governments ever. A federal hiring freeze. The Keystone Pipeline. A rule that prevents feds from telling local police what they can and can't do. A reversal on Obama's regulations on power plants. An agreement that only shovel-ready projects get stimulus money. A retaliation bombing on Syria to stop poison gas attacks. Now, we really aren't in favor of that one. We believe that that was a false flag episode, but it could be that Trump was wily as a fox, that to placate his enemies, he had to make it look like we really were in sympathy with taking out Bashar Assad and not really there with Russia, like we were when we both helped get rid of ISIS now in the new administration. So we don't know whether Trump was duped or whether he was very wise. The support to al-Sisi in Egypt in order to stop the Muslim Brotherhood, that's so important. We've talked in this program how we used to be devotees of Colonial Williamsburg. We went there on our honeymoon. We loved it. But a few years ago when they hosted an international forum and they featured the Muslim Brotherhood, that ended our giving. We hope that sometime they will come out publicly and repudiate what they did. Then maybe Lou and I would support that beloved place again, that place that we think is one of the best things that the Rockefeller family ever did in America. We want rid of the eugenics. We hope the younger members of all of these globalist families will repent and give us back the caring. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to take care of our brethren, our brother. We're to help our brother. This is not helping our brother to have the chemtrails and to have all the other things that we're going to talk about. In fact, later, we're just so shocked that New Freedom Initiative during the Bush years that we heard they wanted to do the mental health screening on everybody. Now, I believe Texas has either passed this law, this bill 1600, or it's about to, in which the children will be getting these coloring books. Lou will tell you about a little bit later, and then they're going to be screened, and then they're going to push them on to the SSRI drugs, which are very, very harmful. What are we living in? We have to stand up for our families. But now back to Dick Morris's points that Trump has done. $3 billion in fines for illegal imports. No U.S. aid for groups pushing abortion, and that's overseas. We still need to see more against Planned Parenthood here domestically. In addition, I'm adding that. In addition, according to Morris, he has formed a task force on opioid abuse. Let energy companies do what it takes to get foreign contracts, killed EPA regs on small rivers and streams, ordered NASA, NASA to study travel to Mars, rolled back car fuel efficiency standards, audited all federal agencies, ordered investigation of Russian meddling in U.S. election, called for scholarships to promote school choice, planned an increase in defense spending, revoked Obama orders on federal contractors, ordered study on how to reduce attacks on police, rescinded Obama regulations on retirement advice, stopped visas to foreigners taking U.S. jobs, required Justice Department to publish info on how many illegal immigrants are in prison for other crimes, signed trade deals with China to open their markets to our products, increased power of states to drug test applicants for unemployment and welfare benefits, rescinded Obama regulation that set federal requirements for college teacher evaluations, rolled back Obama regulations on education. Pretty good, right, Morris says. The contrast between Trump's actual record and that described in the media could not be more dramatic. And now we come to this danger that we know is here, and Dick Morris concludes that, quote, a well-planned coup d'etat by the intel/media complex is underway. Will Trump survive? He can, but only if we realize what is going on and move to resist and to stop it. And we get into the idea now that the Mueller investigation is moving toward something. We know that Manafort is indicted, and Larry Nichols, that born-again Christian who is ill with cancer, but he's still doggedly coming on to Alex Jones's InfoWars. He knows more about the Clintons probably than anyone else alive, what they're really like. Before he repented, he participated in some things I'm sure that he's sorry for. But he informed us the other day that Obama had passed a key executive order to be able to bring in the UN troops in a time of crisis. You know, this vindicates all those people who said Al Caput didn't know what he was talking about, that some of these troops are positioned here, et cetera, et cetera. But there's that key executive order. And Larry Nichols said that what will happen if somehow the impeachment goes ahead and there's a way that this order can be used, if there's a true overthrow of the government. He says he doesn't trust Mike Pence. And also Dick Morris, I'm surprised, even says, quote, Vice President Mike Pence himself, a creature of Congress, enjoys broad popularity. One cannot doubt that more GOP senators would have voted for Pence than for Trump had they opposed one another for the nomination. To the likes of Republican senators like John McCain, himself implicated in the release of the dossier, and Lindsey Graham, a President Pence might come as a relief. But if we, the people, who defied the polls and the pundits and came out to elect Donald Trump, stand up and say no to impeachment, we can likely intimidate enough of the timid souls who comprise the Republican majority to get them to vote no to impeachment or to acquit in the Senate. We need the same kind of popular revolution that nominated and elected Trump if we are to keep him in office. I'm very proud of Dick Morris for that partial conclusion to his book, because Larry Nichols says something else very profound, that if we go into a FEMA, provisional government, if it would come in, all sitting congressmen will be kept on by the New World Order. If they lose their jobs, then they will be subject, like all of you and Lou and me, to the tyranny. They'll be ordinary. Can you picture that? So, in other words, if impeachment gets a little bit closer, or a little bit more real, you need to get on that phone to your congressman, and you need to make it very clear that he will be out of office if he votes for impeachment, because I think this is something very important that Larry Nichols has brought out, that they think that they will be part of the new regime forever if they have those jobs. So this is important for us to know. And now, at the end of Dick Morris's book, Rogue Spooks, he makes this statement. Donald Trump has delivered on his campaign promises to us. The economy is gaining real momentum. Illegal border crossings are way down, and arrests of undocumented immigrants are way up. The United States has pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord and the Pacific Rim Trade Deal. We call that the TPP. The Keystone Pipeline has been approved. Another Republican conservative now sits on the Supreme Court. Even if his order banning immigration from 6 terror nations is stalled by court judges, the Supreme Court will likely uphold it. And anyway, denials of visas from the named countries are up by 70%. He is a very good president. Let's fight to keep him in the White House. I think that's a wonderful closing paragraph. And I believe that the times in America are now far, far different from November 22nd, 1963. The people are awakened. The people have their guns. The people will not stand for this. They overthrew what the MSM was taking for granted with Hillary Clinton's picture on Newsweek ready to be the chief executive. God Almighty is powerful. And we do remember, again, what I told you last week about Pastor Bob Martin, who's on 4.840 megahertz WWCR every evening, Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. He told about God giving him this instruction to go down to the local medical center where one of his parishioners was dying, and he told him to rebuke the spirit of death. And Pastor Martin was faithful. He went down and he prayed for the man who was dying. And he told the man, in 2 weeks you will be back in my church praising God. And he was. And how did Pastor Martin know that? At the time God gave him the instruction, there was a little flash of vision, and he saw the man 2 weeks later in his church worshiping. Now, that power is not here on earth, listeners. That power is far greater than any Machiavellian political machinations or plan or plot. Look around. When you drive out, you see cemeteries, don't you? That's where everybody wind up, either that or, as the new vogue is, the cremation, which is a terrible thing, again, something to destroy our heritage. But we want you to have faith and to pray intercessory prayer and ask God to foil the evil one's plans that are harming all of us so much. We really need to have that happen. And perhaps later we will have a prayer. In fact, I think right now we'll ask Lou to pray for that foiling and for the protection of our president and country.
Let's pray together. Oh, Lord, we just pray for the protection of the president and of the entire country. There are so many forces at work that want to bring down the president because they dislike his strong agenda. They want the country weakened. And they want international control over everything. So we pray, oh Lord, you will thwart these people that are trying to destroy the country, trying to destroy the president. Keep him safe from harm physically. Keep him safe from those who would get him out of office. And just protect him in all the ways that you know he needs. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I believe now we go on to something that Lou has.
Yes, the tentacles of the New World Order's medical complex tyranny choked out the possibility of life restored for one small human being. This is from Time magazine, August 7th, 2017. Quote, "We have decided to let our son go," unquote. Those are the words of Connie Yates, mother of Charlie Gard, announcing her family's decision to end a three-month legal battle to stop a London hospital from taking their terminally ill infant son off life support. The case received international attention as the family sought permission to bring Charlie to the U.S. for an experimental therapy. And sad to say, the family finally gave up and the child died. Now, from Dan and Donna Holman's newsletter, Missionaries to the Preborn Iowa, Dan and Donna Holman have a powerful September essay delineating the horror throughout history of the Nazi eugenics mindset that is still at work today. This is the September 2017 edition of their newsletter. Dear friends, the 1930s horror movie Frankenstein is based on a novel written by English author Mary Shelley, who lived from 1797 to 1851. The novel tells the story of Victor Frankenstein, a young scientist who creates a grotesque creature in an unorthodox scientific experiment. Shelley traveled through Europe in 1814, journeying along the River Rhine in Germany with a stop in Gersheim, which is 10 miles away from Frankenstein Castle, where, two centuries before, an alchemist was engaged in experiments. Later, she traveled in the region of Geneva, Switzerland, where much of the story takes place. And the topic of galvanism, the therapeutic use of electric currents and other occult ideas, were themes of conversation among her companions, especially her lover and future husband, Percy Shelley. Mary, Percy, Lord Byron, and John Polidori decided to have a competition to see who could write the best horror story. After thinking for days, Shelley dreamt about a scientist who created a life and was then horrified by what he had made. Her dream later evolved into the novel's story. Frankenstein is an early example of science fiction horror stories where godless men perform torturous human experiments on weak and helpless people in the name of science. Mad scientists always justify their Frankensteinian experiments by pointing to some future hope of good they might accomplish from it. But even gold can be bought too dearly. The post-World War II era was horrified in learning of the quote-unquote scientific experiments conducted by Nazi doctors on prisoners in concentration camps. Experiments included freezing, hyperthermia, yellow fever, smallpox, paratyphoid, A and B, cholera, and TB injections, sterilization of women and transplantation of bones. Dr. Karl Brandt was Hitler's personal escort physician and a member of Hitler's inner circle. Brandt performed abortions on a great number of women deemed genetically disordered, mentally or physically handicapped, or racially deficient. In 1939, Brandt was appointed by Hitler to co-head the T4 euthanasia program. Brandt's medical ethics, like many German doctors of that period, believed that the health of society as a whole should take precedence over that of its individual members. Brandt viewed society as an organism that had to be cured. Its weakest, most invalid, and incurable members were only parts that should be removed. Such hapless creatures should be granted a, quote, merciful death, unquote. Brandt was tried and hung during the Nuremberg trials. And I'll interject here, to anyone who doesn't believe there is a sinister T4-like eugenics element going on actively in 2017 in science, government, medicine, and mainstream media, one only needs to think of the exposed videos of Planned Parenthood and the poisoning of our food supply with genetically modified items and the questionable end of life so-called hospice care. Here is a letter of protest written by my wife Elizabeth Cuppin Cavalry shortly after Easter of 2017. It's addressed to Susan Spencer, editor, Woman's Day. Dear editor, as a longtime Woman's Day subscriber, I was distressed to find inside your beautiful Easter cover the story of Nancy Bolko's physician-assisted death as, quote, the case against death with dignity, unquote, pointed out, many religions and doctors strongly oppose the practice. Fear of coercion, fear of coercing disabled elderly to choose death is one possibility farther down a slippery slope. Hitler's T4 euthanasia plan began by killing mentally ill persons and disabled children. And that was signed Elizabeth Cavalry. Going on with the newsletter from Dan and Donna Holman, in the precious name of science, Dr. Alfred Kinsey, who lived from 1894 to 1956, founded the Institute for Sex Research at Indiana University, now known as the Kinsey Institute for Research in Sex, Gender, and Reproduction. Children, as well as infants, were subjected to his perverted experiments. He is best known for his Kinsey reports, as well as the Kinsey scale. Kinsey's research on human sexuality is foundational to the field of sexology. Kinsey's dubious findings have influenced social and cultural values in the United States and abroad. They are often cited in legal decisions which strike down wholesome laws against sexual deviancy. Dr. Judith Reisman devoted her life to exposing Kinsey's fraudulent research. Numerous unethical and often illegal human experimentation conducted in the United States and abroad continues to this day on human subjects without their knowledge or consent. And I'll interject that awareness of the runaway Nazi element in medical research may be one excellent reason for the Trump administration's cutoff in funding to the National Institutes of Health. Now, Holman continues, such tests have occurred throughout American history, but particularly in the 20th and 21st centuries. These experiments include syphilis experiments in Guatemala, Tuskegee syphilis study, infected mosquitoes in towns, radioactive materials on pregnant women, mustard gas tested on American military, and many other experiments, which include mental and psychological experimentation and surgical experiments, interrogation, and torture techniques involving mind-altering substances, plus a wide variety of others. Many of these tests were performed on children, the sick, and on mentally disabled individuals, often under the guise of, quote, medical treatment, unquote. In many of the studies, the subjects are poor, racial minorities, or prisoners. Among the many known horrific experiments conducted today are, I believe that's pronounced chimeras, human-animal hybrids, designer babies by editing the DNA of human embryos, and in vitro fertilization, IVF, where multiple fertilized human eggs are implanted within the womb and selectively aborted or frozen for future use or destruction. Oklahoma abortion abolition activist Toby and Cicely Harmon went through considerable effort and expense to adopt two of these millions of IVF embryos held in a frozen state of suspension. One of the two miscarried, but Elias, who was frozen for 3 years, survived. Elias was allowed to grow inside Cicely's womb. Most IVF babies are destroyed. Americans once held to a biblical ethic which recognized man as the crown of God's creation. The second paragraph of the United States Declaration of Independence states, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Life begins at fertilization. The United States lectures other nations on violations of human rights while permitting, protecting, and promoting the slaughter of millions of unborn Americans through Planned Parenthood and United Nations population control programs. Dr. Frankenstein and his monster is not so frightful today to most Americans as he was in the past. Indeed, if Satan himself were to publicly appear, most Americans would gleefully laud, love, and embrace him. Most American churches would silently accept Satan's presence and wicked devices just as they do today, with the barbarism of child sacrifice and the perverted sodomite agenda. And a little editorial comment here, the Holman September newsletter pictures two ladies seeking abortions visiting the Iowa facilities. One, a white-haired woman doctor.
Oh, I want to interrupt, Lou.
Yes.
I believe those are abortion doctors
visiting places. I see, yes. Yes, two abortionists visiting the Iowa facilities. One, a white-haired woman doctor, looks down at her feet in what could be shame or anguish. The man, a Texan, has a very scary, brutal, robotic profile. The Holmans include a photo of a Spanish woman with two kids in the back seat, who changes her mind and drives away from Planned Parenthood after reading a Spanish tract. Praise God, one life saved.
And we do count on you listeners to help us stay on the air because we don't have other sponsors. And so anything you can send us, someone recently sent us 4 postage stamps, we can use them. We can use a little cash. We can use a check made out, not to us. We cannot take it. But you can write a check to WWCR. You could send a money order for a certain amount. And we want to announce again that you can hear us also on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net. Again, that's LWRN.net on Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, repeating at 11 p.m., and more of our archival programs at their website. and they have a smartphone app. So we do hope that you will check them out and that you listeners at WWCR will keep listening to us on 4.840 megahertz Thursday evenings at 9 Eastern Time, so that we do hope to have more support. And if you would like to write to us, you can send anything that you have for us to Lou, capital L-O-U, Caverly, capital C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, P.O. Box 28, and the town is Bethlehem, as in the Bible, Maryland, 21609. And again, that is P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. The Divided Kingdom has another great faithful friend and listener in Massachusetts. He has warned us of various aspects of the eugenics population reduction tyranny that he observed. For example, he noted how many foods now seem to show quantities of iron in their labels. Is this being added to help bring about heart attacks as people age, since excess iron is very deleterious to older people? One friend believes that our friend there in Massachusetts, believes that Satan equates to, quote, man's old reactive left brain frontal cortex, that leads straight to the abyss that is experimentation on life. Did you get that? Man's old reactive left brain frontal cortex that leads straight to the abyss that is experimentation on life. Things like Lou read there about the chimeras and all of that, and that awful Nazi detail that they transplanted bones. Isn't that horrible? It really is worse than Frankenstein's imaginings ever. We pray that this good friend will also be guided spiritually by the Holy Spirit, teaching him that Satan is much more than an aspect of the human brain, that he is an actual being who defied God and is purposefully trying to deceive and destroy mankind into the raging eternal fires of hell. We also pray that our dear friend will come to believe that sin, not the left brain, is at the heart of man's chaos and terror, and that only a personal belief in Jesus and a submission to Jesus Christ as the Lord of our life can redeem. Right brain advocacy alone is simply one more way to believe that man without God has answers. Perhaps God does change the usage of the right brain when he heals us spiritually, each of us. But only he, Jesus, and his Father, God Almighty, holds the keys. Recall again that story that I told you about Pastor Bob Martin going to rebuke death and what happened. No, we cannot really have full autonomy over what happens to any part of our body or, especially our mind, our brain, because God created us. At any rate, we value this friend greatly, and we respect his keen intellect and his moral sorrow over what the T4 elite are doing to harm each of us every day. He once told us in a letter, he sat in his car and he wept. This is a heart. This is a heart that Jesus wants for his own. So here is part of a wonderful, it isn't wonderful in one sense, but it is a wonderful truth-telling, because these things are hard to bear. May 8, 2017, Dear Lou and Elizabeth, so glad to hear your broadcast May 4th. When I listened previously, I knew Lou's coughing was serious. A six-week bout with pneumonia plus sciatica, a real ordeal. But let me tell you, many in this country are now ill, so don't think it's just weakened immunity due to aging. People are complaining of an absence of appetite, insomnia, pains in the joints, ringing in the ears, and a strange lack of energy. I think it's due to the chemtrails and the, quote, food they're selling at grocery stores, which, as I've noticed up here, is diminishing in both quality and quantity. Many almost empty shelves lately, and I hate to think this. We may all be suffering from the 3-6-11 Fukushima disaster, radiation sickness. And then he gives us some health tips using raw garlic and some things that can help all of us. Make sure you stay hydrated. He says this is all good. and, you know, cut out a lot of sugar and use iodized salt or sea salt. Very important. He says it's mid-May and the leaves hardly out on the trees this year. Very few birds. When the woods were once full of spring birding, bird song, I weep, for I know that it's man's mad, quote, science that did this. You wonder if the commercial bird seed for wild birds is tainted by GMO today. Now, isn't that an interesting thought? Very original question, he asked. He says, the labels all say not for human consumption. Why not? If it's safe, supposedly for birds. I haven't seen pigeons hereabouts for some time. Did they plan this needless calamity long beforehand? Yes, they did. I keep interesting old magazines, and the June 2009 issue of Harper's Magazine has on its front page, My Great Depression, Six Dispatches from the Near Future. One of the lines goes, you'll have food, just not so much and not so good. Well, we see that now. The back cover shows a Chevron ad with a balding, swarthy man staring out and a line, I will use less energy. Of course, it's really all about human empathy, not energy. But people haven't woken up to that fact yet. And here's the front page from the February 1994 issue of the Atlantic Monthly, verbatim. Quote, the coming anarchy, nations break up under the tidal flow of refugees from environmental and social disaster. As borders crumble, another type of boundary is erected, a wall of disease. Wars are fought over scarce resources, especially water, and war itself becomes continuous with crime as armed bands of stateless marauders clash with the private security firms of the elites. A preview of the first decades of the 21st century by Robert D. Kaplan. It's called Social Engineering, and psychopaths plan it all out in their, quote, think tanks, then roll it out using the, quote, media. Lou's going to tell us a lot more about this thing that we heard about the coloring books and so much more.
Yes, on his September 4th broadcast, Alex Jones talked about London's Tavistock Institute, the premier organization for mind control programs set up by the CIA's predecessor, the OSS. They worked with Skinner and others. Elizabeth, you knew someone who had an interesting story about B.F. Skinner.
I dated someone at West Virginia University whose wife had to do with the psychology department. And I believe at one time perhaps B.F. Skinner's daughter was there teaching also. And the story was that his grandchild was raised with a timer. Made sure of every moment of that child's existence. Isn't that creepy? Small when we think of all these other horrors. But pick it up, we're going to hear about those grandparents, too, who look like wolves.
Yes. The results of this continuing mind experimentation on the masses is seen in advertising and research. One of the newest revelations is the government putting coloring books into the schools. Coloring books that teach the child all the children, they're depressed. This is so Big Pharma can push SSRI drugs. In the Bush years, the, quote, New Freedom Initiative, unquote, had a goal to get 50% of the population on SSRI drugs. Conferencing and brainwashing the children are just a part of this.
And I would interject, I believe that the plan was I've heard Dr. Group on Alex Jones very recently, and I believe the plan is that they have to have a mental screening. Don't you see something like that?
That's right. In fact, in the just passed bill, number 1600.
We think that it's just passed. We're not certain
I think
it's Texas.
And I think it's Texas. Young people ages 12 to 16 have to undergo one mental health screening. Alex Jones says many states have adopted this law. Now, preying on grandparents' feelings for their grandchildren, Smith finds whooping cough Smith, that is GlaxoSmithKline, that's the new name, whooping cough vaccine ad shows a grandfather and grandmother with wolf heads holding a small human, a baby boy, who laughs and looks trustingly up at them, subtly implying that they are ravenous predators of their own progeny if they don't get the shot, the vaccination. The ad says, quote, "The danger of whooping cough is not once upon a time, it's now," unquote. The ad information states that 80% of whooping cough cases come from being around family members, and that the CDC recommends that every family member get these shots.
And Lou, I have to interject how ridiculous this is. You and I are getting a little older now. All of our peers when we were children had, we called it whooping cough. So, you know, whichever regional thing is okay, whatever it was, we remember we had it. So that almost all grandparents have already had it anyway. That's how absurd it is. That's how it shows you. You know, when you're going into the supermarket and you see all these carts coming toward you, flu shot, no charge, flu shot, no charge. You don't get something for nothing, do you, Lou?
No, that's exactly right.
But maybe you do get something for nothing.
Something you don't want.
Ian Murray, you and I worked in a little Roman Catholic school, and there was a janitor there. You remember Mr. D?
Oh, yeah.
His arm was paralyzed, and that was from some kind of a shot. I think it was a flu shot. He had the Guillain-Barré syndrome, and that's how he was left. Pick it up, Lou.
Yes, Big Pharma and Big Health advertising know that the way to open the purses of Americans is to prey on their feelings, either guilt or fear, as in this ad, or upon the largely good-hearted American nature. Say, are you surprised that after the post-9/11 scandals about the Red Cross, highly questionable use of donations, even now, post-Hurricane Harvey donations to the Red Cross are more than $300 million? After the scandal within Wounded Warriors came out last year, Elizabeth and I determined to be even more careful to donate locally to persons we can see are in need and to Christian causes in our own neighborhoods. So more of this social engineering includes Duke University recruiting men to study, quote, obnoxious masculinity. Ooh, that's a big one. As Alex Jones points out, the goal to upset fixed gender norms of the past is so, quote, when the robots and artificial intelligence come in, we won't even know who we are, unquote. And that's very well put.
And, you know, even in, I believe it was in Glamour magazine, which I don't really subscribe to. I subscribe to a fashion magazine that went out of business, so they substituted it. But through that, I have been able to see some information updates on Planned Parenthood and so forth. So that in this particular issue, there's an article called The Disruptor, and it's about Jill Soloway, the creator of Transparent. And now this is going to show you how creepily we are proceeding down this strange world of gender change. Jill Soloway is under construction. This is true both literally. Soloway's house in the Los Feliz, hills of Los Angeles smells faintly of sawdust and has caution tape ringed around the banister. And in a deeper sense, the writer and director recently came out as gender non-binary, meaning Soloway doesn't identify as a woman or a man and prefers to use singular they pronouns rather than she or he. It's a significant shift for someone who has long been a proponent of the female gaze in filmmaking, meaning movies and TV that present women as the protagonists rather than as objects of male pleasure. For many years, Soloway was a producer and writer on shows like 6 Feet Under and Grey's Anatomy. But you most likely know them. Them. Did you notice that? Them. Now the writer is obeying right here, going under her, it, them, the structures. Anyway, Soloway. Soloway is the antecedent of this them. You most likely know them as the creator of Amazon's Transparent, inspired by Soloway's own parent coming out as transgender. On stage, accepting the Emmy for Best Director of a Comedy Series last year, Soloway yelled, "Topple the patriarchy!" Topple is also the name of their production company, which most recently produced the Amazon series I Love Dick. The past few years have been full of change in other ways, too. After Soloway and their former partner, music supervisor Bruce Gilbert, separated in 2015, Soloway dated punk poet Eileen Miles. The couple broke up last year, and these days Soloway is enjoying being single, setting up house, and focusing on writing. We sit down for a conversation in Soloway's bedroom, which is painted a soft purplish gray with French doors that open out onto a wide... Soloway does a lot of writing here in bed, they explain, particularly on a, quote, hilarious and moving book about the past 5 years of their life, from when their parent came out as trans to when they came out as non-binary. It's been quite a journey. I think that's enough. I don't think you want to hear any more. It shows you how insane and evil everything is. And then we have David Cloud. In September 15, 2017's Way of Life, Effects of Smartphone Use on iGen, Dr. Gene Twenge, professor of psychology at San Diego State University, has researched and written extensively on the selfie generation. She is the author of Generation Me and Living in the Age of Entitlement, and her most recent book, iGen, examines why today's super-connected kids are less happy and completely unprepared for adulthood. And this is spelled with a little I and then a capital G-E-N. You see, this is the next generation after the millennials, I guess. iGen is the name of the first generation of kids to spend their entire adolescence with a smartphone. It is a generation that was born in 1995. Twenge says that has had ripple effects upon their behavior, their attitudes, and their mental health. Teens are spending a lot less time hanging out with their friends in person. That trend has been going on for a while, but it really fell off a cliff around 2010 and 11, right when smartphones became very common. Teens who spend more time on phones are more likely to be unhappy, lonely, and have more risk factors for suicide. The BBC had an article September 3rd, 2017, smartphone era, is it damaging teenagers? Twenge recommends limiting cell phone usage for young people to 1 hour a day or less. If the secular world can see the great danger smartphones present to young people, how much more should God's people understand these things and take great care about protecting the youth? And then David Cloud tells us that he has something available. For tips about smartphones and youth, see The Mobile Phone and the Christian Home and Church, available from www.wayoflife.org. Again, that is The Mobile Phone and the Christian Home and Church, available from www.wayoflife.org. Oh, we have so much more that we didn't even get to tonight, but we do hope you will tune in again next week, next Thursday. We will try to keep you updated in every way that we can, all of you in the remnant, and keep your faith in Jesus Christ, because he will be with you during whatever changes we have, and pray for the people in Mexico. Thank you. Good night. We'll be right back.